Broadcasting from the studios of Business Radio X, it's time for the Good to Give podcast. This show is underwritten by the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, connecting people who care with causes that matter. Now, here is your host.
Welcome and Happy New Year. This is our first Good to Give podcast in 2024. This is Maria Walden, and I am with the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, and I'm sitting here with DePriest Wadi, the president and CEO.
Happy New Year.
I know. This is a great year. A lot of great things about to happen, and we have got an incredible guest that's going to talk about what they're doing in the community and really how we overlap, because at the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, we're always out there trying to make a difference and help other nonprofits convene and be that collaborator to working better together. And we have a guest today that really spends all of her time making that happen. And she is the Intersect Director, which means in the community. She's the liaison between North Point Community Church and the community. And we've got Amira Joe with us today.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Oh my gosh.
We're excited to have you.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're more excited.
What a way to kick off the new year.
I know. This is such a great way to kick off the year, because as we're planning for the year and what we're doing to make that difference, and we have such opportunity. I attend North Point, so I can speak to this. And the opportunities are right in front of us and what we can do individually to make that difference.
Yes.
And love to talk about what that looks like. And I know that many of you listening may attend North Point, but we were just chatting about the fact that North Point meets you where you are.
Yes, we do.
You said you called it something, and I'm going to let you share that, Amira.
We meet you where you are, but we are a church for the unchurched. So we welcome anyone into our buildings, and we want people to feel comfortable that being there as well. We don't want you to have a bad church experience, and we don't want to just turn you away from church because of certain rules and things like that. So we really welcome everyone. And we've done a really good job, I think, of creating an environment where everyone can feel welcome.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think if we all thought that way and what we could do to not just take up space, but make that difference in whether in church, that fellowship that's there, and you shared a story with someone that non-Christian that you met at the gas station, I think you said.
Yeah, I just met a young gentleman. He is from Vietnam, and we were at the car wash, actually.
Oh. There's something to do with cars.
But yeah, we were just sitting there, and he was just chatting me up, and we started talking, and we started getting to know one another. And I told him that I was a pastor at North Point Community Church, and he wanted to know more about that. And so I was like, hey, why don't you come and join my husband and I for church? And he did. And he's been there actually for two Sundays in a row. And I'm just so excited. He's not religious. He does not follow any type of faith. And so it's been a real eye-opener to have conversations with him and to welcome him into our church as well.
That is so beautiful and exciting, because you're including him in something that he's not necessarily been used to or just have experienced in the past. And DePriest, you could probably speak to this as well.
I can. I've been to North Point several times, and I've actually been a part of the men's Bible study group. I fell away after COVID started.
Yeah.
But what I find is that individuals who are not particularly religious or church, they love an invitation to come into a community.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
And that's the beginning point of feeling as if you're valued, your opinions are valued, your lifestyle is valued. And we need to do more of that. And I'm glad to see that North Point is expanding its footprint and making sure that those seeds are planted so that folks feel a connection to just community and what community does. And it's a reciprocal way of looking at community, because not only do you give, but you receive so much more in return.
Yeah, you're right. We really do pay attention to what's going on in the community and how people are reacting. And we try our best to create those pockets of engagement for our attendees as well, paying attention to empty nesters and young adults and all different types of demographics of people. We really try to pay attention and to lean in and do what we can to create environments where everyone could feel welcome.
That's so important. And that is fellowship. And that really could really it's not only always at church. There are so many other ways we have fellowship. And as I was thinking about this morning and having you here with us today and talking about how we all make a difference in this community and what how do you get more involved? And is it through a church or is it through a community foundation? Is it through a nonprofit? Are you a volunteer? Are you contributing financially? What are the different ways to get involved? But what you have going on at North Point Community Church and all the different small groups and different organizations. You've got a leadership lab that's getting ready to take place tomorrow. I know you have those very often. You are really trying to reach everyone, corporate, nonprofits, individuals, families.
Right.
Before we started, you're global because you were just sharing that you have three families from the Ukraine. And my guess is that's not the only country that you guys are involved with. Like the Community Foundation and how much overlap we have. We work with the Ukraine and we're working on and trying to do better on a global basis. But all over the state of Georgia, for the most part, you guys are a little bit further outside of that scope of Atlanta. How far do you reach?
Oh, we have global reach. We have partners in Australia, South Africa, the Middle East. So we have a reach all over, not only here in Georgia, nationally, as well as international.
So how do you reach all those people?
Yeah, we do so through partnerships with other churches, partnerships with nonprofits, and we align ourselves with them and we basically help them. We have this motto at North Point that we partner and not pioneer. We can't create and do everything, but what we can do is partner with people doing great work all around the world. And so we align ourselves with really strong nonprofit organizations that are doing great work and we help them reach their mission. We help them be strategic in their community and come alongside them.
That sounds a lot like what we do. Not as large. We don't reach as many people as you are, although we'd love to. I think that's your somewhat goal, DePriest.
It is. About a year ago, around this time, is we championed the World Peace Revival. And that brought folks around the world together under the teachings of Dr. Martin Luther King and the placement of the statue at Peace Park in Atlanta. And I got to meet so many interesting people from all over the world just by connecting with creating great, good teachings in a respect for humanity.
Yeah.
And it's all about creating these safe spaces where folks can be their authentic selves. And only then can you start giving back to community in a very meaningful way. And so I just applaud all the work that North Point is doing. And we love to have authentic partners in this space because folks are hurting. And I think there is a resonation when you think about nonprofit or you think about church work, you generally think about volunteerism and money, right? And those things are important because it keeps the cylinders running and it keeps the organizations flowing. But then when you look at some of the things we had to deal with post-COVID, the effects of loneliness, lost learning with children.
Yes.
I think the relationship with parents and teachers has changed because when we were growing up, we went to school and pretty much we were in the hands of the teachers until 3 o'clock and then we were back in our parents' care. But once parents had to be that primary caretaker and teacher in the home during COVID, there's a whole new respect for teachers and that whole education system. So I think that the world has been turned on its side and we need to reinvent ourselves in order to meet these causes and get ahead of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that for sure.
Now, do you work with schools as well?
We do. It's interesting. Our Buckhead Churches has been working with schools longer than we have here at North Point, but we've learned a lot from them. And since about 7-8 years ago, we started working with schools. And I was really apprehensive because I wasn't really sure how schools would react to a church like, hey, we want to partner with you. Right. What does that look like? Yeah. And we were new. We're like, we don't know what it looks like, but let's try. Do you mind just trying to rock with us and let's see what we do together? And so we actually started our first school partnership with Amana Academy here in Alpharetta.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was about 8 years ago. And together we have grown and we've learned so much from one another. And we've been able to do some really amazing things. And since then, we have partnered with more schools and we've extended that partnership to Fulton County schools as a whole.
Wow.
And when I say Fulton County, I'm talking all the way from the airport all the way down up here to the north side of town. We work with Dr. Looney, who's the superintendent of Fulton County Schools and his entire administrative office to support the entire county as well.
So what do you do in the schools? Like, what tactical things go on?
Yeah, that's a great question. One thing we have is a mentoring program. So that mentoring program runs from the entire school year. And so what we do is that we partner our attendees at North Point with students in the school, and they basically come in and mentor that student all year. And so they'll come a few times a month and stay with the same student. And the win is really, Maria, is when that mentor and that mentee are together for multiple years. So we actually have, because Amanda goes from kindergarten to eighth grade, mm-hmm. we have mentors that have been with their students since kindergarten. And now they're like in seventh, eighth grade. So it's really a relationship that's being built, and they're walking with that student and doing life with them. And I cannot tell you the amazing stories that come out of that and how supported and encouraged students are knowing that they're mentors for them. And a couple years ago, we actually started mentoring at Centennial High School. And that's a unique program. And what we do there is we have been partnered with students who are on the cusp of not graduating. And so what we do is we partner them with a mentor from North Point, and that mentor will walk with them and help them get all of the things they're missing, all of the assignments, and help them get back on track so that they can graduate. And that is a game changer, because think about what would happen if a high school student didn't graduate in high school. Where would that leave that individual? And being able to walk with them to make sure that they are crossing that line and graduating is just a game changer. And that program has been amazing and very well supported with Centennial High School as well.
What's the name of that program?
It's just a mentoring program.
Just mentoring. So what are the requirements for the mentor? Do they have to be an educator or?
No, you just be willing. We put you through training. We mm-hmm. do a background check to make sure you can do that. And the really cool thing about it is that we do so much, but I got to tell you, God has his hand in all of this mm-hmm. because what ends up happening is that a mentor with certain skills will be aligned with the student with the same, with the skill that they need. Right. Oh, and yeah. we had no planning in that. And it's just been a God thing, putting those students and those mentors together. Now, Centennial has a coordinator. Her name is Ayana, and she's amazing, but she helps to partner the student with that mentor.
That's incredible. We've talked about interns and how do we build that bridge? And I love that you are really putting that together. There's big brothers and big sisters, and I'm very familiar with how they work, and this sounds very similar.
Similar, yeah.
But I don't know. Do other churches do the same thing? Do they have these types of programs, or are you
our
the only?
Or
well, yeah. Well, I would think all of them. Just general. I didn't know that this has existed. So how unique this is.
I don't know if other churches outside of our churches mm-hmm. have it. There are about four of our churches out of the eight that we have here in Georgia that participate in the mentoring program. And so we have developed those relationships and executed the program for a number of years. I know Forsyth County has a program mm-hmm. and I don't know who's a part of that, if other churches are a part of it, but I'm not really sure what other churches are doing. So the mentoring program, just to go back to your question, that's one of the ways that we support schools. Another way we support schools is we basically, because we develop a partnership, we want that school to let us know when they need something, right? Hey, the principal at Amanda, Jean-Jacques, will come. Amira, we really need help with XYZ. Can you help us? We need teacher support. Like, our teachers don't feel enough love and they need to be encouraged and support. We will do a teacher appreciation lunch or do something like that, or do gifts for the teachers or something like that. We do school supplies for the students as well. We support the school where through our Be Rich program, which we'll get to a little later, but through the Be Rich program, we've been able to provide staffing. Full staffing positions. They needed a math instructional coach, and we were able to provide the income, the salary for that particular position. So we come alongside in what they need. We let them tell them what they need. And what we get out of it is we get an opportunity to mobilize our folks in the church to go out and serve. And that's really what we want.
Mm-hmm. Those are game changers.
That really is. And the reason I ask if there were other churches, because I think this is unique, but the uniqueness to North Point Community Church is that you really are in the community. Your role, and I just don't hear about this very often, that you're really not trying to gain anything other than what you just said, getting your people, the congregation involved in, or providing them opportunities to get involved.
Right.
And I love that. I don't really hear much of that. And spending money. as far as you said, as far as a salary, how do you raise money to be able to do something like that? Is that the Be Rich campaign?
Yeah, we have this amazing generosity campaign that we do every year. And it's this 2024, I think we're going to be going into our 19th year of the Be Rich campaign.
Wow.
And it's a campaign where we, our pastor Andy Stanley, will kick it off by asking for $39.95 from people. And it's a campaign where we raise money, but we also garner service opportunities all throughout the county. And so what that looks like is we will sit down with the various nonprofits in our community, and we will ask them, what would help you go further faster? What are some things that you have not been able to do on your own that would really make a difference for your nonprofit? And so they will give us a list of these projects that they would fund it, right? And so we take that information, and I have to tell you, these nonprofits are nonprofits that we've been working with, and they're fully vetted by our organization. And so we don't have this super long list of nonprofits, but we have a good list that represents the need in our community. And so once they give us that list, we take that information and we go through it, we vet it ourselves, and we create a list from all 8 of our campuses. We create one list, and as money comes in, we are able to fund projects. And I have to tell you, 2023 was an amazing year. We raised over $8 million and we gave it all away.
Congratulations.
Wow. I have the best job ever. I call someone, I'm like, I got to come visit you to give you a check. So
I know.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I have been on the other side of fundraising, and you're hounding your friends or people run from you.
Yes.
And in my role now as development officer for the Community Foundation, it's the first time ever that people want to see me, and because they're like, oh, she has money to give away.
Yes.
So it's a whole different perception.
Yes.
And I love it.
Yes.
And it is the best job. And we have a very similar
yes.
role in the community, and really looking for the opportunity to be able to give money away. And at the Community Foundation, we provide grants and a lot of different ways, in not necessarily in a mentor type program, but in financial. And DePriest, you probably want to chat a little bit about what we, just for those that don't know what a Community Foundation does and how similar this is.
It's very similar. One enhancement that we also provide our nonprofits is technical support and professional development. We found that particularly during COVID, that a lot of our nonprofit leaders were just exhausted. Staff got to be thin. Some staff decided that they wanted to take a break. And you had a lot of nonprofits that were operating not only on shoestring budgets,
right.
but shoestring HR staffs as well. And so over the last few years, we've been providing these courses to help strengthen nonprofits on the back end, operationally, spiritually, intellectually, and professionally, to help them grow their businesses.
Yeah.
And so many of them are just beginning to write grants. You're finding that many of them are looking outside of their traditional footprint for additional funding to support. And then they're coming up with some really innovative ways of getting matching grants and getting introduced to new people. And so with that said, we've also, last year we had our nonprofit academy, which happens in the spring, and we'll be talking about that a little bit more down the road. But we introduced a segment called mental health for mm-hmm. the nonprofit leader. And it was amazing the stories that they were telling around how stressed out they were and how they really had to force themselves to take a woosah and check out for a little bit and not feel guilty, because
yeah.
guilt was a big part of the equation when you see so much need and then you trying to address that need head on. But then it's like that old adage, you got to put that oxygen mask on yourself before you can help anybody else. And we gave them permission to do that.
Yeah, I love that. I love that a lot. Yeah. That staff, working with the nonprofits, we also see staff that they go well beyond the call of duty, and they work long hours to support those in need. And so we try our best to pay attention to that as well and support them and use our resources that we've created, our churches, to help them as well. So I love that you do that.
So when you, it's very similar to what we do, is we vet nonprofits. Mm-hmm. Ours are for our fund holders, and a lot of the money that we manage or we give away, and parts of it come from generous people that want to open a donor advised fund and that have and want a philanthropic journey, similar probably to your Be Rich. And I want to just pause there with that, just for Be Rich. But the fact that not knowing, a lot of these individuals don't know which nonprofits are around. Our vetting or your vetting is so important to the back office side of both of our businesses, really, because how do you keep, we've got to stay abreast. Leadership changes, as Dupree's mentioned, they have burnout. There's a lot of things that take place. And if we aren't vetting them, are these fundholders members of your Be Rich campaign, are they getting that information? And where are they getting that information if they don't have resources like us?
Yes.
So it's really important for both of our organizations, and we're probably finding the same information, but are the people that we're giving it to may be different, just as far as, what do you call your, are they fund holders, the people that get involved in Be Rich and that really contribute to that $39.95? What is there a term that you use for those people?
There are attendees. There
attendees.
Are church attendees.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
And we have to, Marie, it's so important that we do that vetting because our folks trust us, right? They trust us. They're intentional about giving. Some people do a planned giving. And so when we have to do our due diligence to make sure that money is going to support a strong organization and a good project. Right. So we do the work on our end. It takes a lot of work because we have to do it every year because changes can be made in a nonprofit, as you all are aware. Leadership changes, financial changes.
That's right.
It could really change. And so we have to stay on top to make sure we're supporting strong organizations.
That's true. That's very similar to what we have. There are two people on our team that are, we consider that the title is Fundholder Experience. We have a director and we have a manager. And that's what they do. They're always out in the community finding out what's new, what's going on. We call them field trips, but going to the organizations and finding out what's going on and making sure that their needs are being met, as you were mentioning earlier. And so I think it's powerful.
We also help nonprofits plan for the future because, as you said, a nonprofit is only as strong as its infrastructure. And we want to make sure that we provide them some financial support and resources and investment advice so that their rainy day funds, or if they're fortunate enough to have an endowment, that those dollars are well invested if they invest it through the Community Foundation. And just like when you have a car, you get a flat tire, or you might have a check engine light, those things cost money. And nonprofits find that they might build a building, but then the air conditioning may go out or refrigeration system may go out. Mm-hmm. And so we work with them to build these endowments, so these rainy day funds, so that those dollars are growing silently so that when they need an infusion of cash, they're there.
Yeah.
And then it protects them legally also, because unfortunately, when you're in the human services side, particularly, and you're working with volunteers and you're working with children or you're working with seniors, there are things that litigiously happen. And those dollars are protected as an asset of the Community Foundation for those nonprofits to know that those dollars can't be touched if they're ever sued. And we work with them in those types of scenarios so that they're protecting themselves and insulating their assets so that they can make really great decisions in case they have to deal with a crisis.
What are some requirements for nonprofits to access those types of services? Is it available to any nonprofit or what is that?
It's available to any nonprofit. And nonprofits are like an accordion, right? Some of them have a wealth of resources, hundreds of thousands or $1 million of endowment money. Others start off very small and very humble with $5,000 or $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been fortunate to work with the Capital Group in Atlanta, and they've really given us some really great investment advice on the corpus of our dollars. We have about $80 million under management with them. And these dollars are pooled together with their trillions of dollars of assets so that the nonprofits, their dollars grow further, faster. And so when they open a fund with us, all they really have to do is request the dollars, and we work with them and their boards to make sure that the request is in alignment with what their board wants them to do, and we can provide them access to their dollars within hours of the request.
Awesome.
We're, in fact, I'll invite you, doing an event. We're trying to do these quarterly events to educate the community on what a donor advised fund is. And this, we have one coming up in Avalon, right here in Alpharetta, on the 15th of February. And we've partnered with Signature FD, and they have a community, but it's part of Fraser and Dieter, but they are they have a community division, and they're always trying to find nonprofits that they can partner with. And we are spotlighting the Ronald McDonald House mm-hmm. on the 15th. And so that's pretty exciting. But it's a free event and offer breakfast, or a light breakfast, I should say, as what I'm supposed to say, scones. We're using Brewable over here, so I'll plug them in. But we are just trying to educate the community. And so how do you spend your money at North Point? And most of our donors or our fund holders that have donor advised funds, the first place that they want to contribute is their church.
That's right.
And so that is a great resource, to that connection and how we work together, because really they're the same people, but not knowing where to spend the money or how the vetting process right. is what's needed. Or as DePriest just said, there's just such a wealth of knowledge between the two of us. Do you guys provide education to the nonprofits?
Yes and no. We provide resources that we've created, like the leadership labs that we lead once a quarter. Mm-hmm. We have various resources in different ministry areas. And I'll give you an example. Like in our care department, for example, our care department is where we care for people who are struggling with mental health or going through financial difficulty. We have resources that will help in those situations. Financial advisors, we have OASIS, like if you're going through a divorce or something like that, we have resources to walk alongside you with that. One resource that we have, a lot of parent resources as well, because we have children's ministry, and we've created various resources that we make available to our schools and to parents that attend our church. One that I found helpful was the cell phone resource. It's basically giving parents some information on how to manage a cell phone with a teenager or a young child.
Yes.
And sharing that with schools has been beneficial as well. So we don't necessarily offer education, but we have resources, if that makes sense.
That's so interesting. I'm just going to pause here, because I was at a restaurant the other night and I was getting on an elevator, and there was this long bench. It was like a pew, a church pew, but it was this long bench, and all these teenagers were sitting there. And as I looked, every single one of those, there were probably at least a dozen, all looking at their phones, not talking to each other, but looking at their phones. Yeah. And that is, that's a great resource.
And knowing that that's a tool that, unfortunately, you know, people with ill means access kids. And so they need to learn how to navigate and use that tool where they're not jeopardized. Their safety is not jeopardized.
Exactly. Sure.
Wow, that's incredible. So we both are providing resources in different ways. And ours, as DePriest mentioned earlier, we've got a nonprofit academy. So those nonprofits that you may have already vetted and you're working closely with, we provide education like fundraising or capital campaign management or storytelling or marketing and lots of other leadership developments, strategic planning, all the things that you need to run a nonprofit. And so we provide that part of education. We also provide, gosh, what other things are we doing this year different?
A new market that I'm really excited about is the ability of having our nonprofits in the same room as some of our for-profit leaders, because we're finding value in for-profit leaders learning more about what those community causes are that they should be investing in. And as long as I've been in this business, I think there's still a lot of work to be done with connecting the folks who are doing the entrepreneurial or business work, selling products and selling services, and how that really relates to nonprofit work. Oftentimes, a lot of our for-profit companies, they have employees who really need the services of these nonprofits. They have food insecurity issues. They have transportation issues. They have mental health issues.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, many employees don't feel comfortable going through EAP with their companies. They want to go to a community organization that is familiar and will give them a level of support that will ease their minds around some sensitive issues that might happen in family. We have for-profit companies that are dealing with employees that are victims of domestic violence. And that is a very sensitive area that requires a lot of confidentiality. And these nonprofits insulate not only the individuals from violence, but also insulates the companies as well. And it helps them to be more alert and more aware on how to protect their employees.
That's great. I would love to invite some of my nonprofit partners to access some of your resources as well and your educational programs.
Sure.
I think that would be a huge benefit to them.
We have a friend, Chris McChesney, who's going to be at your leadership lab. And to Dupree's point, that is why we brought Chris in. And we, in November, had an event, Chris McChesney with the Four Disciplines of Execution did a big program, 3-hour event for us. And that because we wanted to invite not only nonprofits, but for-profit individuals. And you guys are very involved with that, but I know you're having him tomorrow as well. I think we're both sharing that for-profit, nonprofits kind of collaboration and thinking, what do we need to provide? Because I think both sides of those, both sectors need both, need all of it. And so the fact that you guys are providing that in your leadership labs, and I know you've gotten some really great and tremendous speakers, that's what we're trying to somewhat provide to the organizations that, as Dupree's mentioned, the corporations. And that's another way that maybe there's potential partnership and how we could feed into that.
And Norpoint has been a phenomenal partner with us as we have hosted Chris at your campus.
Yes.
And you guys have been just so generous and so helpful in helping us to spread the word and have a really great, phenomenal place to host that event. So thank you very much.
You are so welcome.
This is an all-you-can-eat buffet because there is enough for everyone here. We both, I think both organizations are really trying to make that difference and opening doors for individuals to be able to join us in that fellowship and that growth. And how do we make those changes? The world is seemingly falling apart. A lot of times I look at the news and I think, oh my gosh, it's so negative. And how do we make that positive difference? And it sounds like this is what our goals are. Okay. Both organizations are really working towards how do we make that impact? What do we do? What can we do to move the needle and help others to see the same thing?
Yeah.
And I know that you want to talk a little bit, I see your Be Rich stuff there. So share a little bit more. No, I want you to, and that how people can get involved and what that looks like. And tell us more about Be Rich, because that's a really big program you have going on.
Yeah, thank you. One thing I wanted to say, Maria, is that when we look at the community, we as a campus, we have created a strategy, and what we want to endear ourselves to the community. We want the people in our community to know we're here, happy we're here, and better off because we're here.
Yes.
And so every ministry in our church, and every church has that in mind, has that endearment strategy in mind. And what can we do to make an impact within our community? We're going to share the gospel for sure, but what else can we do to reach people? And so we have the Be Rich campaign, but we also have things that we do outside of Be Rich as well, where we're trying to reach and make an impact within our community. Be Rich is one way we do it. It's an amazing way. And I've talked about the financial impact as well. But when you look at that, we have 8 churches in the metro Atlanta area, but we also partner with over 60 churches nationwide and then a few churches internationally. And so that impact is not only happening here in Georgia, but Be Rich is happening like all over the globe. And it's just a beautiful picture of God's love and grace throughout the world. And another component of Be Rich is the serve component. Mm-hmm. Because what we do is when we talk and we sit down with those nonprofits and get things that we can fund, we're also asking them, how can we serve you? What can we do to serve you? And so can we do different projects? What can we do? So we garner thousands, literally thousands of projects for people to step in and serve those nonprofits. And what we aim to do with that is we want to move our attendees from ignorance to awareness to engagement to lifestyle. We want people to know about the nonprofits and the organizations and the issues in their community, become aware of that, get involved, and make it an actual lifestyle of serving other people. That's what we really are striving for, right? And so with the serve component, we're really trying to meet people where they are because we have different types of service opportunities for people. We have free things where you don't need money. You can just go and serve and do something. You can do something from your home, like writing notes of encouragement, things like that. We have places where you can show up and serve, like my family did. We did for MLK. We went to the food pantry and we served at NFCC's food pantry yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. I'm sorry, on Monday. And it was amazing. But we also have opportunities for children. We have as little as toddlers can get involved and do something with our Lighthouse Family Retreat organization. We do DIYs where you can do them on your own time. Just you can sign up for it and you can execute it and then just drop it off when you finish. So we really try to create variety so everyone can make a step towards service.
I love that. And you are really creating a mindset. if you're starting with toddlers, and I was one of those toddlers that my parents were, we couldn't even take dance lessons unless we gave back and danced for a nursing home, because that was, we had, it's give or get. They weren't going to pay for it unless we were going to do something about it and we were going to serve. But I'd love that, that you're really providing these opportunities for people to really get involved. And I know the Community Foundation, we're just scratching the surface on creating volunteer opportunities. Mm-hmm. And this is something maybe that there's some partnership in that too, because feeding people into a resource that, how do I get involved?
Right.
And not everyone's aware of that. And you have the heart for it, but what is available? And so that's amazing.
I do think in order to share the gospel, you have to show the gospel. And yeah. So those acts of kindness and and those hours that our volunteers just organically generate for mm-hmm. the betterment of the world. I'm an optimist. And I think that the news is always going to show the gloom and doom. But I think that the more we do more of this, I think it makes it tougher to report the gloom and doom, because that barometer goes down of gloom and doom. And I think that what we're doing is corrections work. Might not necessarily, these are our unsung heroes, and they might not necessarily be on the front page, but I think that they truly have a calming effect on the world in so many different places. And I think that's how that spirit of giving works.
And Be Rich, the name itself, for some, it could be a little off-putting. What does this mean, Be Rich campaign? It really originates from 1 Timothy 6:17-18, when Paul is telling Timothy to be rich in good deeds and be willing to share.
Amen.
That's where the name Be Rich comes from. So that's what we're trying to do. Be rich in good deeds, and we want to share.
We love that, and we definitely share a lot of overlap here, and we're definitely trying to, and we're striving to reach the same types of people and mindsets. We only have a few minutes left, but I want to make sure that, how would people reach you, Amira? Do they call you? Is there a different approach to this to get involved?
Yeah, people could reach out to the church. They can go to our website, northpoint.org. They can reach out directly to our ministry, Intersect, by going to intersect.org, www.intersect.org. And we'd be happy to hear from anyone.
Now, will there be a list of volunteer opportunities there if they go to the website?
There won't be a list of opportunities right this moment. We just ended our Be Rich campaign in December. And so now we're ramping up for the new year. So we don't have anything listed right now, but if you want to get involved, what we do have is a list of all of our nonprofit partners, and you can go and directly connect with them and volunteer.
That's beautiful. I'm sure they appreciate that. And we are so grateful that you've made time, and we'll figure out ways we can do that. We have an opportunity for anyone that is listening and love to learn about how to be rich or their campaign, but more than anything, and generosity of giving. And that we provide these on a quarterly basis for anyone's interested in opening a donor advice fund, learning about it. It's free. It will be held February the 15th from 8 to 10 in the morning at the Greater North Fulton Chamber of Commerce in Alpharetta, Georgia. And please join us. It's, like I said, free, and love to see you there and learn about philanthropic giving and what the Community Foundation does. And Ronald McDonald House, I said, we are spotlighting them, but in the future, we are always looking for nonprofits to spotlight. If you have some ideas around that, we'd love to do that on a quarterly basis, or talk about how we can get your group, your folks, your attendees involved in something like that. And Sister Priest, how would you like to close? There's just so much information here today.
This is so energizing, because we're in January. And this is a great way of starting the new year. And I think that for those of us who are really looking at the next 12 months as to how we can impact our communities, you can't ask for two better organizations to navigate the causes and the things that need to happen in our community. So, Amira, thank you so much for
coming
on board today with North Point and the great work that you guys are doing. And we just look forward to continuing the journey together.
Awesome. Thank you both.
Yeah, the opportunities are so great, and there's enough for, like I said, everyone to get involved. And so this is our first of the year, but not the last. And we have a lot of great opportunities. If you'd like to be a guest and you're listening and love to hear from you, you can reach us at the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia. And you can find me there, and DePriest as well. We won't give our cell phone numbers out. And my email just changed, and I finally have shortened it. So it was a whole lot easier to find me.
CFNEG.org is the place to find us.
CFNEG.org. Thank you so much for listening today. Amira, always a pleasure. It's always good to see your light.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Dupree's always good. John, always a pleasure, and happy new year to everyone until we meet again.
Thank you for joining us on the Good to Give podcast. This show is underwritten by the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, working with donors and nonprofits, improving our world through the power of philanthropy. For more information, go to cfneg.org.